Good morning and welcome everyone to each of you, and welcome to the service this morning. So whether you're here or listening later, hopefully, to the recording, we are thankful to be together in the worship of God. So welcome.
Hello everybody. It's good to be with you today, and we're going to start off with singing a song we haven't sung for a little while. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Is a little more familiar. I think we've sung this more recently. My Jesus, my Saviour. Lord, there is none like you.
My Jesus, my Saviour. Lord, there is none like you.
Given us this day in which to serve you and to delight in you. We give thanks that you're here with us. We give thanks that you are our comfort, our shelter. Please open the eyes of our mind to see you, the ears of our heart to hear you. God of eternity, we bless and adore you. Accept our offering of praise and thanksgiving, which we bring in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The reading from the psalm for today is from Psalm 16. I'm just going to read a few verses of that prior to our prayer of adoration and confession. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up for Sheol or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We pray. Almighty God, in you is the source of all life, the fount of all wisdom, the wellspring of all grace. Your days are without end, your loving mercies without number. We depend on you, and we acknowledge your goodness to us. We tell your story in every generation. You are our familiar God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, of King David and Solomon, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of a pilgrim people, your church. In Jesus Christ, we see your glory, we hear your word of truth, and know your forgiving love. You have put your ear to our heart, both when we pray. You know well what we fear and question, what we long for, and from whom we turn away. And even when we become deaf to you, you never stop listening for us. And so we confess those times that we have turned from you, wandered from you, to seek after those things which have distracted us from your life-giving way, from the acceptance of your grace and the reassurance of your peace. Please break down all the barriers that we put up against your love. And hear us, O Lord, as we continue our confession in some moments of quietness. O Lord, restore to us the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit within us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, we pray. Amen. Yes, however great the sin committed, grace was even greater. So hear this good news that you are accepted, you are forgiven, and you are free. It is all God's work. Yes, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to God's very self, not holding people's misdeeds against them. And we are entrusted with this message of reconciliation. The good news is that in Christ, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Christ has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross, and we meet in his name. And we share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We take a moment to greet each other with that peace and welcome. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Rosemary.
This week's a big week coming up. On Thursday, we have Music Lovers. This is the last one for the year. It's Chantifique, the choir who sing in French. So please come along. That should be a good morning, $10 and morning tea. And Margot and the Cooldabouts will also have a little stall, so if you're looking for some Christmas gifts, I'm sure you'll find something there. And in connection with that, could some strong people please move this tabletop podium here after the service, because they need to put all the chairs for the choir on Thursday. And if anyone's free on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m, could you please come to help to put chairs out for the choir? Then the following Sunday, next Sunday, is our really big day. It's the short congregational meeting after the annual reports, and you will have received the annual report printout today. An update on our financial situation and the budget for next year. It won't be long, and there's plenty of time before the lunch, which is 1 p.m. Please note that later time too. So that's at one table, $35. If you haven't, I know a number of people have said they'd like to come. And if you haven't paid yet, could you please pay by credit card after the service, or cash in an envelope? And you can still pay by direct deposit, but please let us know if you're coming. Don't forget the Women's Refuge food hampers that we collect at the back of the church there. And if you're going to be away in December or January and you're on rosters and you haven't let Courtney know yet, please do that shortly. Thank you.
Was it last week or this week? I can't remember when it was. I asked some of the ladies Bible study to come and have a bit of a conversation together about what they've been doing, and just as we get near towards the end of the year. So I asked Marion and Joycelyn and Rosemary just to come and have a bit of a conversation together about some of the things that they've been doing. Thanks, ladies. And you probably need to use this mic here or share that one, whatever works.
Could I just mention, first of all, that it says ladies Bible study, but we are not just ladies Bible study. In fact, up until the end of last year, we did have a gentleman by the name of Jim who used to come to our Bible study regularly, but unfortunately, you will know he passed away towards the end of last year. But so since then, we have been a ladies' Bible study, but that does not mean to say we would not love to have some masculine input to some of our conversations and their ideas and what different things mean to them from their perspective. So please come and join us. But meanwhile, we'll just mention a little bit of how we feel about our study each week. When David approached us, we were into the Bible study, and we thought about, we stopped and we spent the rest of the time brainstorming why we were there, and it was fabulous. We came up with a whole lot of interesting lists of things, and anyway, we've all got our own little contribution, so I'll go. So thought I'd better write it out because I'd forget. One of the things that I really love about the John Birch series that Rosemary selected is it helps us to really cross-reference a lot of the Old Testament to the New Testament. And one of the parts in the Bible study is he starts off, says, on the surface, and then these questions, and then digging deeper. And it really helps us to nut out what's going on. And as part of that what's going on, how it relates to our humanity, how the Bible touches us right back thousands of years ago. And those stories are so rich. It's intellectually stimulating. We all have a good laugh. And find out that we've got hidden genius that we didn't really know we had. And that's me. Okay.
I really study because I like the different conversations that we have, and brings out different viewpoints from different people, what they may have different ideas, and sometimes and things we don't think of they bring out, you know, that's what I like. And I find that meeting again during the week, it helps you to keep in touch with God and bring your life into line sometimes.
It really does.
Yes.
I would just add too, as a question of how it affects us, how it brings our faith out, in when we, it really, I feel, it gives us confidence in that we know that we are not alone in some of our ideas and thoughts and understandings of what we read in the Bible, and we share those. Sometimes there are differences, and that's good, so we can look at those and take those all on board. And then the main thing is, I think, it's we have that confidence that what we are doing, what we believe, is worthy of sharing with others. And I think this giving this, having attending this Bible study gives us that confidence to share what we know and what we love and what we want other people to know.
You know, learning about the Bible, I think it's just that desire, that hunger to learn about God's wisdom that really then comes out, doesn't it? It really does.
And just sharing, and we accept all each other's and everybody who would join us. We love to hear other people's views, other people's understandings, because different people can pick out different elements of a particular study, which is helpful to all of us at the time.
We're doing it now. This is what happens in our Bible study. I was just thinking, part of what you just said then was we have different Bibles that we bring along, and it's amazing the different interpretations from the different Bibles. And that's a really rich part of it, I find. Jocelyn's got a particularly wonderful Bible. Find out get which Bible she has, because it's brilliant.
It's a study Bible with little notes at the bottom.
That's really good. And then, of course, there's always Dr. Google, who we kind of really stuck with a little explanation of something, and it's very surprising what comes up. Thank you.
Thanks, Rosemary, Marion, and Joycelyn. And I know there's been one or two others that have joined you over the last, this year, certainly. So that's great. Thank you. And our next hymn is actually a prayer before our Bible reading for this morning. And help us, O Lord, to learn. If the words of the hymn aren't particularly familiar, I think the tune will be okay for us. So this will be our prayer prior to our Bible reading for today.
Exclaimed, "Is this really Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she answered. "Call me Mara, because Almighty God has made my life bitter. When I left here, I had plenty, but the Lord has brought me back without a thing. Why call me Naomi when the Lord Almighty has condemned me and sent me trouble?" This then was how Naomi came back from Moab with Ruth, her Moabite daughter-in-law. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the barley harvest was just beginning. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. And so to week two of our little mini-series here on the Book of Ruth. There's a few notes in your order of service bulletin about week two and what we look at next week. And the picture that you've had on the front cover, and indeed that will be up here a couple of times, is a picture done by Reverend Geraldine Wheeler, and sought her permission to be able to use that. She actually offered after the service last Sunday that she had done this, and I took the opportunity to say, "Is that okay if we use that, please?" And so there it is. So it's and there's some instructions about what that the actual media that it's on. So it's really great to be able to share that image with you this morning. So today it's on the Naomi and Ruth particularly, and then next week, our final week, we'll look at Boaz coming onto the scene, and Ruth, Boaz, and the king. And more about that next week. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. What can we say to the Naomis of the world? To the Naomis who, because of what reality has become for them, are despairing of life and despairing of God. To the Naomis who cry out, God, what are you doing? What do we hope people will say to us when that is our experience, when we are Naomi? Twice in chapter 1, the text tells us that Naomi is left alone. Once at the death of her husband and once at the death of her two sons. One of Israel's precious family units are on the brink of extinction here. Naomi hears that there's food and back in Judah and heads back to her old home. When she and Ruth arrive, many of those who see them have to take a second look. Crikey, is this Naomi? We then hear her despairing words in verse 20 to those who come to greet her. Oops. This is what she says to them. Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? The name Naomi means pleasant. The name Mara means bitter. What can we say to the Naomis of the world? What can we say to the Naomis of the world who cry out with questions that we hear in Psalm 77? And these are the two psalms I mentioned last week that you might want to look through, and they're not particularly pleasant reading. But these are some of the questions that Psalm 77 cries out. We can almost hear them on the lips of Naomi. Has the Lord's steadfast love ceased forever? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has God in anger shut up his compassion? Or Psalm 88 finishes with this sentence. Darkness is my closest friend. You're not God. Darkness is my closest friend. In other words, what are you doing, God? Don't you care? This is where praying psalms can be so helpful to us, including those times when we do not know what or how to pray, especially when life simply stinks. We can turn to the psalms and let them be the words that we want to cry out, but perhaps are reluctant to do so. We let the words of the prayers of the Psalms be our prayers. Psalm 13, how long, O Lord? How long must I bear pain in my soul? How long? We can let the prayers of the Psalms be ours. What can we say to the Naomis of the world? We see in the person of Ruth some words, but we also see some actions by Ruth that help us a little here. On that journey back from Moab to Bethlehem, there is a conversation that takes place. Naomi tells Ruth and Orpah to go back to Moab, back to their homes, and Orpah does that. And there's nothing against Orpah in her making that decision. She's clearly distressed by what this moment entails for the three of them as they stand there and have this conversation. Orpah heads home, but Ruth stays. Ruth stays. Ruth says to Naomi, and these are possibly some of the most beautiful words that we read in Scripture. Where you go, I will go. Where you sleep will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. As I said last week, Ruth in effect was saying, wherever the future takes us, I will stay at your side. Ruth stays with Naomi during her emptiness. There's a book called Compassion, and it's authored by a few people, one of whom's Henry Nouwen. And this is a quote from that book. When do we receive real comfort and consolation? Is it when someone teaches us how to think or act? Is it when we receive advice about where to go or what to do? Is it when we hear words of reassurance and hope? Well, sometimes, perhaps. But what really counts is that in moments of pain and suffering, someone stays with us. More important than any particular action or word or advice is the simple presence of someone who cares. When someone says to us in the midst of a crisis, I do not know what to say or what to do, but I want you to realize that I am with you, that I will not leave you alone. We have a friend through whom we can find consolation and comfort. End of quote. You see, sometimes it will solely be the words of Ruth that we need to hear. And sometimes it will solely be the action of Ruth that we need. A couple of years ago, I got a phone call to go and visit someone in the palliative care unit. The site where I was working, there was a Queensland Health palliative care unit there that Blue Care supplied the nursing service for and did a remarkable job and still do in providing that care. Occasionally I would get a call to come and to visit someone who was dying. And so this call came. And I was given, as often the case, as much information as they could give me. And So I went to visit this person who did not have long to live, maybe a couple of days. And between talking with the clinical care nurse and her calling me, this person had become no longer able to communicate. And not only in voice, but even in action as well. And so when I arrived, basically they were conscious and with their eyes open, but that was about it. And I had received this call to go. They wanted to see a minister, a pastor. So what do you do in that circumstance when there's no conversation possible and you don't know very much of the circumstance? All I knew was that they had requested in very few words that they wanted to see someone. I've learned across the years in those circumstances what's important is to not say much, but to be, is to be there. There was some things that I said about how I got there and who I was. And there's a blessing that I often use in those circumstances, and I offered that. And as the best way I could, sought some that was okay to check. wasn't any response to that, but there is a really lovely blessing that I give in those situations. But then the rest of the time was simply to sit with them. And there was something about them knowing that I had come at their request as that sense. And often that's what people do as they step into palliative care units, as ministers, as people from the church, that there's a connection that people have with them for God. And so whether it be in that situation or others, there's simply this learning that we never underestimate the simple presence of being with someone and of sitting with someone in those circumstances or in others. Sometimes it will solely be the action of Ruth that we need. Naomi's despair is the inside view. The inside view. And the inside view has lots of questions. The inside view shows her life is difficult, full of sadness and loss and grief. And the teller of this story, the person who's writing Ruth, paints it in all of the pain and sorrow of the reality of Naomi's world and doesn't hide it away from us. And even though by the end of chapter 4, even though by the end of the book of Ruth, life is turning around for her, when Boaz steps in as this kinsman redeemer, this relative, which we hear next week, and where Boaz has married Ruth and children are born, and life is much more contented for Naomi, it still hasn't changed the reality of what she's lost. The inside view does not give us a nicely packaged story where God makes it better. This is the reality of the inside view, and it doesn't make a lot of sense when you view life from the inside. And my guess is that we know this view all too well. We know Naomi's world. We know that viewed from this side, it doesn't always make sense. In fact, it rarely does. It rarely does. When all we can see is from the inside, we are often overwhelmed. We might have people who stick with us and give us great comfort, and that's so, so necessary in our world, in a world that's so isolating and filled with loneliness for so many. The presence of someone who cares is vital for us. And yet the story here says something further to us. The story says that the inside view is not the only view. The inside view is not the only view. It's not the only view in this passage, in this story. It's not the only view in my life, nor in yours. The teller of this story of Ruth, looking back at it, gives us an outside view. And it is there in the very first verse of chapter 1, Bethlehem. The writer knows that Bethlehem is the city of David. It's an outside view. And it's there at the end of chapter 1 that Val read for us. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, it's just an off-the-comment remark, really. There's been a famine, but now there is a crop to be harvested. There is a glimmer of hope. And as we'll hear next week, that line is a crucial line in the whole story. For it's where Ruth ends up going to glean, and it's Boaz's field. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. If we stay with this across the story, we discover that the power in this story comes from the outside view. Not at the end of the story, Boaz and Ruth have a son, and they name him Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David. David the king. David, the one to whom God would give a promise. The one through whose line God would still be at work. And even though, just like the tumultuous times of the judges when people did what was right in their own eyes, as we heard last week, even though in David and in his line throughout the Old Testament there's sin and rebellion, the outside view still prevails. God is at work amongst God's people. That's the outside view, that God is at work. God is present. The inside view may still remain heartbreaking, but it's not the only view, and that's the point. God was at work for Naomi. God was at work in King David. God's promise of a faithful shepherd king to rule over his people can't be taken away because it's the outside view. The promise comes true in the city of David, in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, in the days of another king, King Herod, when shepherds gather around a manger and leave glorifying and praising God at the birth of Jesus, the son of David. You see, Jesus is God's bigger view, is God's bigger picture. Jesus is God's outside view. As the Son of God, Jesus healed many, and when he dealt with sin and brokenness and pain, it didn't happen for everyone in every village and town that he went to. And there are days when we cry out in desperation, why? Why is that not the case? It will one day. It will one day, but not yet. Many years ago, C.S. Lewis gave a talk titled The Weight of Glory. He said, at present we're on the outside of the world, the wrong side of the door. We discern the freshness and purity of morning, but they do not make us fresh and pure. We cannot mingle with the splendours we see, but all the leaves of the New Testament are rustling with the rumour that it will not always be so. Someday, God willing, we shall get in. Meanwhile, the cross comes before the crown, and tomorrow is Monday morning. A cleft has opened in the pitiless walls of the world, and we're invited to follow our great captain inside. The great C.S. Lewis. You see, what Jesus did was take all the sin and brokenness and pain upon himself, and he entered into it for us. And so he knows and can comfort us in trouble, as we hear in Hebrews chapter 4, can comfort us. And Jesus dealt with the power of sin and death and evil in himself. The Apostle Paul wrote about the inside view and the outside view in Romans chapter 8. Here's the inside view that Paul says. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or famine, as Naomi knew it, or persecution or nakedness or peril or sword? This is the inside view. But then he goes on to present the outside view. But the outside view, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the outside view. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Faith lived out in this way, it's not a superficial faith, though some may contend that that's the case. It's not a blind faith. It's not a faith that ignores the often stark realities of life, but rather a faith that can see two views at the same time, and in so doing draws strength and comfort and hope. It's a faith that's able to say and show that no matter what may come, God continues to be with us and is at work in Christ And so to finish, some of you may have read the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I'm not sure. You may have seen the movies, I dare say. In the last book of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, The Return of the King by J.R.R. Tolkien, the two hobbits, Frodo and Sam, have taken the One Ring to rule them all. They've taken it deep into the land of Mordor to destroy it. That's where the journey has taken them, and this is where they need to take the ring to destroy it. They can hardly tell in this land if it's night or day. The darkness and the shadows are ever deepening around them. They're exhausted and they need to rest. Frodo falls asleep almost immediately, but Sam, his great friend and guardian, as it were, remains wary and awake. And in his weariness, Sam glimpses something that changes the moment for him. Tolkien puts it this way. Far above the Ephelduath in the west, the night sky was still dim and pale. There, peeping among the cloud rack above a dark tor high up in the mountains, Sam saw a bright star twinkle for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart as he looked up out of the forsaken land, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft, clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end, the shadow was only a small and passing thing. There was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach. His song in the tower had been defiance rather than hope, for then he was thinking of himself. Now, for a moment, his own fate and even his master's ceased to trouble him. He crawled back into the brambles and lay himself by Frodo's side, and putting away all fear, he cast himself into a deep, untrembling, untroubled sleep. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing, my song is Love Unknown.
Service of your kingdom through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you give us. We thank you that the vision of your Holy Spirit is available to us. We thank you for victory over life over death in all its forms. Loving Jesus, in your name we pray for the world around us. We pray for our families and loved ones in the ever-changing landscape of world events. You have our destinies in the palm of your loving hands. Help us to trust in your grace and your understanding that goes far beyond our limited knowledge. Bless us with the discernment and wisdom that comes from you. We pray for our world leaders. We pray that they will be inspired by your message to sustain a peaceful, stable world. May your Holy Spirit guide them to protect the vulnerable, the disenfranchised and powerless. We ask for your blessing on your church, for its ministers, for its social welfare outreach programs and ventures in evangelism. May your Holy Spirit nurture all who are committed to their calling. We pray for people who are enduring war, hunger, violence, or who are forsaken, orphaned, homeless, or diseased. May the healing care and support they need arrive in the presence of mercy. For those who suffer constant pain, for those dying slowly, and all who care for them, for the bereaved family and friends who reach out to console them, the frail and the sick in this congregation and beyond, we pray for healing and inner peace. We pray also for those who have intellectual and physical challenges, who find each day a major struggle, for the lonely, sad, or embittered amongst us who have given up their fight. May their lives be transformed by your Holy Spirit. May they be encouraged and given fresh hope. We pray for the Indigenous people of this and other countries who live with disinheritance, for their health and education, for the cherishing of their ancient cultures. Bless us as we seek opportunities to implement these prayers. May we draw on our faith and act with quiet determination in the name of Jesus, who showed us how to serve, forgive, and to love. Keep our minds open to grace-filled opportunities and possibilities. Loving God, we are your family. We pray for the blessing of your hands laid upon us, that we may with courage and compassion, with humility and good humour, work with each other to build your kingdom on this earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us join in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Of him may the mind of Christ, my Saviour, followed by the blessing. after the benediction, we'll sing May the Feet of God Walk With You, which we sing from time to time. And just a reminder, we have opportunity for some refreshments after the service this morning. Look forward to sharing that together. Also, next week, if I'm correct, is Christ the King Sunday, which is the conclusion of our story through Ruth. We look at Ruth, Boaz, and their children. And as I said in the first week, it's a very human story of Ruth. And I said that there may be times when we kind of get caught off guard a little bit in the story. And if that's the case, just encourage you during the week to have a cup of tea with someone that you trust. And even this morning, it might be that you have a conversation with them or with me, that's fine. And just to be able to look after ourselves in that way. And to know indeed that God is with us and God's peace goes with us. So let's go out into the world in the power of the Spirit in all things at all times. Remember that Christ is with you. Make your life your worship to the praise and glory of God. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
That's right.